Matthew. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We'll be looking at verses 1 and following. Matthew chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 12, but our focus will be on verses 1 and 2. The message this morning is entitled, Simply Follow Me. This morning we want to focus on what it means to take on the mind of Christ and to truly follow Him. I remember as a young infantry soldier at Fort Benning, Georgia, seeing the statue of Iron Mike. Some of you have been there and you know, you've seen it and you know what that is. The statue of Iron Mike is the statue of a soldier, and he's clutching a rifle in one hand and he's looking back over his shoulder, and with his other arm he's waving those behind him onward and shouting, "Follow me." You know, our Lord issues that same call to us. He issues the call to us today to follow Him, to put on the mind of Christ, that is, the likeness of Christ, and to truly follow Him with our lives. So how can we renew, how can we restore, how can we reformat, reprogram our lives to put God first above all else, and to truly follow Him? Well, there's a lot of talk about leadership today. In most every forum and career field and in churches, there's a lot of talk about leadership. But what God calls us to is followership. He calls us to follow His Son, Jesus. How do we do that? It begins when we come to Christ. It begins when we come to Him as our Lord and our Savior. Scripture says He makes all things new and that we are to walk in newness of life. That is, He renews our heart. He renews our desires. He renews our mind. He makes us new when we come to Christ and daily follow Him. Not only are we to come to Him one time, but we're to keep coming back. Just like we keep coming back to the dinner table time and time again, we're to daily come back to the Lord. Daily, we are to come and feast on His Word, to feast on His presence, His guidance, and His truth in our lives. We are to daily follow Him. Look with me this morning in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. It says here in Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, please stand as we observe the reading of God's Word. It says, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, His disciples came to Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Father, bless your word today. Give us understanding. Help us to hear from you and to apply your truth to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here in Matthew chapter 5, particularly verses 3 through 11, we find some very familiar verses where Jesus delivers His infamous Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes we have here. But before we can focus on the message of verses 3 through 11, verses 3 through 12, we must not overlook the messenger in verses 1 and 2. What can we find in verse 1 and 2? What can we see there in those first two verses that would speak to us this morning? Well, first of all, we can see from this passage of Scripture, this passage communicates to us that our Lord sees us. He sees us. Jesus sees us. Sometimes we think that we're alone in our plight, whatever we're going through, we're experiencing it all by ourselves. No one understands it. No one can relate to it. Or sometimes we think we can do things in secret, and because the whole world, no one else can see it, that it can't be seen. But God sees all. He sees us. Jesus sees us. There in verse 1 and 2, it says that He sees. He sees, seeing the multitude. He saw the masses, the multitude, the crowds that had gathered there, that had followed Him to this place. He looked out, and physically He was able to see them. You see, He sees us this morning. He is an all-knowing and all-seeing God. He sees the multitudes, the masses, as a world of people in need. And He not only does our Lord see the masses, but He sees us and He knows us as individuals. He knows me and He knows you. We serve a God who sees us. He knows our faults. He knows our hurts. He knows our failures. He knows our struggles. He knows our fears. He knows us better than we even know ourselves. That's a scary thought, but it's also a comforting thought that God knows us. We might fool others. We might even fool ourselves, but we cannot fool an all-knowing, all-seeing, omniscient, omnipotent God. God sees us. He knows what we are going through today. He knows where we're at this morning. He knows the struggles that we face. He knows the conditions of our heart. He sees us. You say, well, how can God know me? How can God know what I'm going through this morning? How can God know what I'm facing or what I'm experiencing in my life? And the answer to that is because He is almighty. He is sovereign. He is a sovereign God. He is our Creator. He formed us in the womb. He knew us before the foundation of the world. He sees all. He knows all. And He cares for all. He cares. He cares for us. Jesus sees the multitude here in this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5. He sees them as a world of people who stand in need. A world of people who stand in need of His love. A world of people who stand in need of His forgiveness, of His redemption, who stand in need of the grace of God to come into their lives, to transform their lives so that they would be no longer spiritually dead, but very much alive to the things of God. Here in our text, Jesus looked out and He saw the great multitude. He saw their hopelessness. He saw their helplessness. He saw their sin. He saw the best in them. He saw the worst in them. He saw their need. And you know what? He sees those very same things in us today. He sees us. He sees all we're going through. He knows all we're experiencing. Our Lord sees us, and our human finiteness limits our ability. Our sin nature clouds our capacity to fully understand the full majesty of God and who He is. Even though we can't see God in His fullness, He sees us today in our fullness. He sees us as we really are. He came to us as God in the flesh to relate to us, to identify with us. Scripture says that He was in all points tempted, yet He was without sin. And so our Lord looks out over this troubled, sin-ridden world today. And He sees a people in need, but we serve a God who is more than able to meet our every need. Amen. Scripture tells us that nothing is impossible with God. There are a lot of impossibilities in my life from my vantage point, but nothing is impossible with God. He tells us that God shall supply all our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus, and His riches and His glory, that His grace is sufficient for our every need. What a comforting thought for us this morning to know that God sees us. He sees us as we are, yet He still loves us, and He still gives us the help that we need in our day-to-day walk in life with Him. But not only does our Lord see us today, not only does He see us, but He also calls us. Jesus sees us and Jesus calls us. So if Jesus sees us as who we really are, He sees us faults and failures and all.
He does not turn away from us, but He calls out to us. He welcomes us to come to Him. He offers us the gift of salvation and forgiveness and eternal life.
So we see here in this passage that Jesus calls us. It says there in verse 1 and 2 that He went up into the mountain and He sat down and His disciples came to Him. You see, there are those vocal calls of God when we might can audibly hear Him speaking to us.
Most of the time, God speaks to us in our hearts, where perhaps no one else can hear it but us. God speaks loudly and profoundly through His Word to our heart.
He was calling those disciples to come to Him. All throughout Scripture, all throughout the Gospels, Jesus was issuing the call to come and to follow Me. And following Jesus is a lifelong endeavor. It's not something we do for a little while. It's not something that we do just on Sunday. It's not something that we do when we feel like it. But it's a lifelong endeavor. And when we set out to follow Jesus, we should never turn back again. Remember when He saw the disciples on the banks of the water fixing their nets? He called out to them. He said, "Come and follow Me." Remember the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus, the rich young ruler? Nicodemus had come to Jesus and inquired about what he must do to be saved, what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus answered him saying, "Forsake it all. Go and give it all away and come and follow Me." Again in Scripture, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and to follow Him. Many never put on the mind of Christ because we never get to that point of surrender in our lives. We never get to that point where we're willing to truly forsake it all and follow Him. Why? Because following Him requires that we step out on faith. Following Him requires that we deny self and that we fully trust in Him. Notice here that the multitudes, the masses, here Jesus saw the multitudes. And then notice what He did next. What climactic, dramatic event happens after Jesus sees the multitude? It says He turns, walks away, climbs the mountain, and sits down. Was Jesus, after seeing these people in their need, was He forsaking them? Was He turning His back on them? Why would He leave the mass of people that had come with their problems and their baggage and all of the things that answers to prayer? Why would He turn and walk away and leave them in their moment of need? It says that He saw the multitudes and then He turned and went away and He climbed the mountain and He sat down. But notice what took place next. The disciples came to where He was. The disciples, they came to Him. They followed Him. They followed their Lord wherever He went. They came to where He was. Regardless of where Jesus was, they followed. But notice the multitude didn't follow. The crowd, the mass of people, they didn't follow Him to that mountaintop. Oh, they superficially followed. They had problems. They had come to Jesus with their own agenda. They had problems that they wanted Jesus to solve. They heard He was a miracle worker. They heard that He could heal sickness and remove problems and make our lives better. And so many of them superficially followed, well, just wanting their answers to their problems and prayers. But many weren't committed to following Him. Perhaps it was too hard to climb that mountain. Perhaps some said, "Lord, it's too hard to go where You are. It's too hard to climb that mountain. The pitch is too steep. The mountain's too high. Lord, we have too much to tend to down here. Lord, we don't have time." And on they could have went. But yet the disciples, they followed Him. They followed. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Christ. So we have to ask ourselves this question this morning. Am I a disciple? Am I a follower of Christ? So we see here that the disciples, they followed Him. The Word says, Jesus says, "My sheep hear My voice," and they what? They follow. They follow Me. So our Lord calls us today. He calls us not merely to be religious. He calls us not merely to be Methodists. He calls us not merely to bring our problems to Him, not merely to be interested in spiritual things, but He calls us to lay down our lives and to follow Him. And that and everything else in our lives should be built upon that foundation. Because that is the very foundation that can bring us through whatever it is that we may face in our lives. Our Lord calls us. There are a lot of people that are religious today. There are a lot of people that are interested in the Lord today. There are a lot of people that are that will turn to God when problems hit their lives. But are we willing to endure the cost of following Jesus? Are we willing to follow Him? His true followers followed Him saying, Lord, we will go where You lead. Our desire is to be with You. Our heartfelt desire is to follow You. That should be our desire today. That should be the desire in our hearts. You see, Jesus doesn't follow us. He calls us to follow Him. He calls us to come to Him, to follow Him, and to seek Him. Oftentimes we say, Lord, bless my plans. Lord, be in whatever it is I'm doing. Lord, go with me as I go and do what I want to do. Instead, our prayer should be, Lord, where are You at? Lord, where are You at work at in my life and in my surroundings? Lord, what are Your plans for my life? And help me to align my life with Your perfect will. That's a whole different paradigm shift, isn't it? It's a totally different mindset. Instead of saying, God, bless what I'm doing, say, Lord, help me to do what You want me to do. Help me to be the person You want me to be. Help me to be doing the things You want me to do. You see, sometimes following Jesus means climbing that mountain. Whatever that mountain may be in your life today. That mountain that's staring off, that you're staring off, that's right there in front of you, that seems to gaze up all the way to the heavens. Sometimes following Him means climbing that mountain, whatever that mountain may be. Sometimes following Him means experiencing hardships in our lives and undergoing difficulties. If it were easy to follow the Lord all the time, then the masses would have followed. But they turned and they went back and they went away. Some will never follow. Some will follow only when it's convenient to do so. Some will follow when it's culturally popular to do so. Some will follow when it fits their agenda and their plan. Many reach the base of that mountain and they look up and they say, Lord, this is the end of the line for me. I can follow You no more. They turned and they went away. Because the price was too high. Many ceased to follow, but for those committed to following Christ, for those committed to following Him, if we endure the hardship of the mountains in our lives, we can abide with God. There we find our Lord. Our heart should be, wherever He leads, I'll go. I like that song. Wherever He leads. Wherever He leads, I'll go. So the call still rings out today. Will we heed that call? Will we follow Him? Will we follow Christ? Jesus sees us. He sees our hearts. He has situational awareness over our lives and our surroundings and in every area of our lives. And He calls out saying, forsake it all and to come and to follow Me. But not only does our Lord call us, see us today, not only does He call us, but He also will teach us. He teaches us. If we're teachable, God will teach us. God will work in our lives and He will teach us. It says there in verses 1 and 2 that He came, that they came to Him and then He began to teach. Jesus went up on that mountain and He sat down and then the disciples came. They made the ascent. They made the climb that masses of people weren't willing to make. And there they found the Savior. There in the midst of their climb, when they reached the apex of their mountain, there they found Him waiting, and then He sat down and began to teach. There's a lesson here for us today. And that lesson is, if we want to be filled with the Spirit of God, if we want to be filled with the Word of God, if we want to be filled with the power and presence and peace of God in our lives, then we must seek God. We must pursue Him. We must follow after Him. The disciples, they sought Him. We too must seek Him. We must seek His face, heed His call, and to follow Christ in our lives.
Those disciples had a hunger and they had a thirst to be where He was. We must have that very same heartfelt hunger and thirst for God in our lives today as well. For we cannot know God, and we cannot know God's will for our lives unless we follow His Son Jesus.
He calls us to follow Christ, to obey His commands. Why? So that we might more fully know God in our lives. And as we follow Him, He teaches us.
As we go to where He is, as we seek Him, as we pursue Him, along the way He fills us, He teaches us, He fills us with His Spirit, He fills us with His Word, He fills us He fills our hearts and minds with the life-changing truth of God.
In turn, we become more Christ-like in our walk, our lives are transformed, and our minds are renewed, and we are drawn in the deeper things of deeper in the faith. And we're drawn deeper into the things of God.
So our Lord issues that very same call today that He issued here in Matthew.
He calls out to follow Me, and we're to come to Him. We're to go where He leads. And if we go where God is, we get something. We get to enjoy the rich blessings of God. But if we don't go, we miss out on the marvelous, miraculous blessings of being with Jesus and learning what He has for us.
God is calling us today.
He's calling me and He's calling you to climb that mountain. He's calling us to not look back, to not get discouraged or to grow weary. He's calling us to keep climbing, to not give up, to keep following, to keep trusting, to keep believing, to keep walking by faith, to keep serving until we reach the top. And there we can rest at the Savior's feet and we can learn from Him and hear from God. So are you ready this morning? Are you ready this morning to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll follow You. Wherever You lead, I'll go." In Matthew He says, "And seeing the multitude, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came to Him and He opened His mouth and taught them." Father, bless Your Word today. Lord, may it stir our hearts. May it give us encouragement and hope and strength, Lord, to keep following. Lord, sometimes we get weary as we follow You. We tire out. We want to sit down and rest. Father, sometimes we stumble along the way and we need to get back up and brush ourselves off and get back in the fight and keep serving and following. Lord, some of us have yet to begin to follow. But Lord, right now, today, this morning, during this time of invitation, we can come to You and we can begin that journey of following Christ. Lord, wherever we are at, each one as individuals this morning, I pray that You would work in our lives, calling us into the deeper things of God, calling us to know You in a more personal and intimate way. Lord, would You woo our hearts and speak to us this morning during this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
This morning we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. What number is it, Brenda? 334. 334. Please stand as we sing hymn number 334. If God has spoken to you today, this altar is open. Come and follow Him.
Expressions on each face.
Thank you so much. I want to remind you tonight we have our Bible knowledge, men against the women, female versus male. I think us men, we might be behind a little bit, but we have a lot of fun. The topic tonight is military men in the Bible. So I picked that topic out because I thought us men needed a little bit of edge. Not sure it'll help us or not. And we're also going to see how many football teams are named in the Bible. You know, like Eagles, Rams, that sort of thing. So we have a lot of fun. Also, TJ and I will be playing the guitar. I think I'm going to try a little instrumental tonight.